Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord, for this conference this week. I ask you to speak, Lord, through your people this week, Lord, and stir us up, Father, and help us to do what you want us to do, Lord. And this is the most important work we could possibly have. And we thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being co-workers in this thing that we're doing for you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. You know, it's incredible to me when I think about the mission conference. I always think about, okay, what exactly I want to, you know, talk about and different things. And this time, as I was thinking about all these incredible people in the Bible that it's just amazing to me. There's not too many people, famous people in the Bible that I can say, you know what, I can relate to these people. You know, there's a few nobodies. They don't even mention their names. You know, I can relate to those people, you know, but I mean, when you think about, for example, over there in First Chronicles, in chapter 11, it says, just not where I'm going to be preaching tonight, but just, I'm going to get started here. 1 Samuel chapter 11, it says, just an amazing thing is about David's men, about his, I mean, who are these guys? These guys are, I think they did glow in the dark. You know, I mean, this is incredible. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 11, chapter 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 11. Did I say that? Okay. Chronicles. I'm going to be in Samuel. It's going to be a long night. Right. It says here in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11, 1 Chronicles. It says, and this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Joshabim. Says, a Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. I mean, it's like a human shish kebab. You know, I mean, this is incredible. 300 men with a spear. And he, I don't know exactly how he did it, but I mean, we're talking about David's, I mean, valiant men, I mean, extremely powerful people. I can't relate to this guy. You know, I think, you know, when I think about people like this, I'm thinking, man, you know, I wouldn't mind being in the group, you know, because if you're with a guy who can do a shish kebab with 300 people, more than likely you're going to be returning home after the war. You don't have to be doing much fighting, maybe just a little, you know, hurrah, go for it, you know, you get the job done. I'm here with you. You know, I like those kind of people. But you know what? Since I've been saved, since I've been affiliated with you guys, man, I'm surrounded with some crazy people. You know, I mean, seriously, with some crazy ideas. You know, I remember one time I was here in this church, Brother Lindell. I remember it was Brother Lindell. He was asking. I guess it was a Sunday morning. He was asking if somebody would have time to drive Brother Steve around. He had some visits that week, and I said, "Sure, I'll do it." So I go with Brother Steve, right? I go to pick him up, right? First and last time I did it. I go to pick him up, and we take off, do our visits. On the way back, we're going over this bridge there, almost getting to his house, and he looks down, and he says, "Hey, let's go preach in a bar." And I'm thinking, what? Yeah, look, just turn around. And so we turned around, we go into a parking lot full of people. This was not my idea. You know, I'm thinking, I signed up to take Brother Steve to go visit. I didn't sign up to go preach in a bar. So we pull up to an American Legion, packed out. Brother Steve goes, "Okay, we're going to go in there. This is the plan. We're going to go in there and we're going to preach. And then we're going to get out. And I'm thinking, man. I said, okay, this guy's my pastor, right? I'm thinking, okay, he knows what he's doing. So he has the door open, and it's packed out. He has the door open with his hand on the door, opens the door, and I go in, and it's a bunch of kids and ladies in there. They had a Boy Scout meeting that night, and his family was in there. Crazy, crazy ideas. You know, I was thinking about down there once I got down to Mexico. We're there in Irapuato, and Bill just mentioned this. I guess the last men's meeting we had, it was pretty funny. But we went out and preached at a neighborhood. It's real common down there. One day it's just a vacant field. And the very next day, there's cardboard houses everywhere. You know, these communist people, they just move in and then they just own the land. Well, we decide to go preach over there, you know. And so we get there and we start preaching and we get into some trouble. You know, they're coming out with hoses. I mean, not hoses, but the kind that you dig up the ground. Machetes and all these other tools, you know, that aren't for people to be stabbing with. But anyways, they're coming out with us, you know, all these things, and they say, you know what? Don't come back or we're going to get you. Well, you know, I'm just like that guy in 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan's armor bearer. What's his name? I have no idea, but he's holding the tools, you know, his weapons or whatever, you know, and Bill stand up there, you know, big old 6-foot white guy, you know, he's standing there. Well, you know, we're going to be coming back tomorrow. We don't care what you say. And I'm thinking, well, hold on, wait a minute. I ain't saying nothing. I'm thinking, okay, I guess not only did he tell these people that we're going to be coming back, we told him the time we're going to be coming back. I think that wasn't too wise. You know, it was one of those nights where I said, well, I think we're going to go out to tacos tonight, Karen. Might be my last meal. It's one of those nights where you're thinking, you know, Lord, send some kind of sickness to me, please. Some excuse other than I just don't want to go tomorrow night and preach, you know, because that's kind of lame, you know. Maybe if I had a sore throat, you know. Maybe I was coughing up blood or something, you know. Something that I could say, I ain't going to make it tonight because of this, you know. Hoping for a flat tire, my engine blow up. Something that I don't make it over there. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 14. Just crazy stories. Crazy people. But it's been fun. Been down in Mexico for 13 years. It's been good. Been fun. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 1. You know, I want to use this and talk about this mission of Jonathan. We're in a mission conference, and hence mission, right? Jonathan's mission. So we're going to talk about that. And I saw some things in here and in a mission. You know, I love war stories. I love war movies. I love watching. I don't care if they're true or, you know, the more false, the better. I guess the story gets even better and the movie gets even better. But, you know, I love that they have an assignment and they go and they capture a flag or they capture whatever, you know, and I just love, war movies, you know. Now I'm thinking about this right here, and if you read, you know, the previous chapters, this is incredible. Jonathan gets there and obviously the people are distressed, you know. Saul did a dumb thing and so they're just basically there waiting and, they're just about ready to go in and the Philistines are there and all of a sudden Jonathan gets a pretty crazy idea. He says, in verse 1, he says, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father. You know, the first thing I want to talk about the mission that we have as Christians is this guy, these two men here, the certitude they had, they were gung-ho to do something. And like I said, I can't really relate to Jonathan, as I think that's just a crazy idea. You know, he didn't tell his dad. You know, he didn't tell anybody else. The only person he told was, you know, his armor bearer. He says, you know what? Let's go over and let's start fighting with the Philistines. And that's just a crazy idea. What's even crazier is this guy said nothing. You know, he just listened to him and he said, okay. You know, I mean, I don't know if he thought it was a good idea or a bad idea or what. It's just amazing to me. He just followed, you know, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this mentality that we should have. Sometimes I think in this work, that's exactly the mentality we should have. Just do it. You know what their plan was? Come and go over. That was the plan. You know, the Lord's going to give the victory. I mean, that's definitely what Jonathan thought. Jonathan, you know what? God has put us here. The enemy is right there. We're just going to walk over there and God is going to win the fight for us. Now, you know, lots of times I think we need that type of attitude to do this work. You know, who would have thought? You know, our churches, none of our pastors down there in these Mexican churches that are there doing the work and preaching every night, making their own plans. None of these guys, as far as I know, well, they don't call me. None of these guys call us and say, what do you think about this? You know, they don't call the pastors up here, you know, and say, you know what? I'm thinking about evangelizing this neighborhood. What do you think? They just get up and do it. You know why they do it? Because they're sure that God is going to give them the victory. That's the same way they got saved. You know, the foolishness of this decision, come and let us go over. What an invitation. Come and we're going to get this done. Listen to what else happened in verse 2. In verse 2 it says, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. You know, in any work that we do for the Lord, there's always going to be people sitting around. It's amazing to me that Saul had 600 men just sitting around. But you know what? This didn't discourage Jonathan. You know, he didn't say, you know what, man, these guys are, this young man, that was, this guy that was with his helper, he didn't say, well, you know what, maybe we should just follow the example of these other people. You know, they're just sitting under a tree, eating some fruit, kicking back. You know, let's just wait on the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say that? Wait on the Lord, man. You know, hey, Bill, let's not go to the meeting just right now. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's go get some tacos. You know, let's not go preach in no cantina. You know, let's just take it easy. But you know what? We're not called to take it easy. We got a work to do. People die every single day. You know, and I was thinking about this. You know, the discouragement that sets in, and this is why I like every year coming up and having a mission conference. You know what? You know what I want to do? Just like, I don't know if you caught that, Brother Steve and Haggai. I have a verse in there in this message too about that. But the Bible says that God stirred up Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel?
That's good, right?
He stirred him up, and not only did he stir him up, but he stirred up, Joshua. Start them up. Well, you know what? These mission conferences, you know why I like them? First of all, because I got saved during a mission conference. And second of all, because during a mission conference that I got stirred up and said, you know what? I think I need to be following those crazy guys that go out there preaching. You know, I think I need to be one of them. I might not be, you know, it's funny to me. I see it all the time. You know, everybody, remembers or recognizes certain people in our churches, right? Brother Lindell. Who can forget that? You know? I mean, it's hard to do. You know? There's certain people that just, their charisma, their whatever it is, you know? I mean, Brother Lindell can say his name one time and the person is probably not gonna forget. But you know, I can introduce myself to somebody 50 times. You know, my picture's outside there and they go, oh, thank you for visiting. You know, I come and go, hey, well, you know, who invited you here? I mean, I'm just hanging around. Don't worry about me. You know, I really, and I'm fine with that, you know. I like being, you know, like I said, you know, being hooked up with one of David's, you know, strong men who, you know, hey, I get the victory too, you know. I mean, I don't care what team wins a championship, you know. In football, you only got a certain amount of people who play. There's a lot of people on the bench, but they all get rings and they all get bonuses. You know, I mean, they're there yelling too, even though they didn't play 1 minute. They're on the roster. Well, you know what? I'm on the roster. You know, and you guys are on the roster. You know, lots of times the discouragement and not only do we feel it, man, you know, we don't really do that much. Maybe you're thinking that. Well, let me tell you, one thing that encourages me, one thing that makes me want to go out and not fail and do what I'm supposed to do is when I see that list that they send to me every single month with names that's been there for 13 years. And you say, well, you know, I don't give that much, but you're on there every single month. Every single month. I'm looking at your name. I'm thinking, you know what? These people have put some trust, and you could have done it blindly. And if you do, I don't care. Do it blindly. You know, if you just say all the missionaries, that's fine. Just do all the missionaries. I don't care. What I'm saying is you're doing it for the Lord. This is His work. And you know what the reality is? If I'm going to be out there, I need you to be here. I mean, that's the reality. You know, lots of times we get discouraged, but you know what? I come to you tonight and I make no apologies for being a missionary. No apologies. I like this job. I really do. You know what? I took my daughter to a feria, to a carnival. It's not a carnival. It's where they have rides. Bunch of mechanical rides. What do you call that? Carnival? Amusement park. But it's one of these fly-by-night ones. It's just, you know, set up there in Mexico, you know? It's just, you got about 10 of them on there and you're hoping they're put together just right. But I took my daughter there right before we came up and, she saw this twister. It's called a twister. It's a huge thing. It's like, it looks like a hammer, you know? And it does something like this, you know? And all of a sudden it goes all the way up, you know? And so she wants to get on there. She's 10 years old thinking, oh man, you know, I got one kid. I mean, if I had three or four, yeah, go ahead. I got one kid. I'm thinking, okay, all right. So I pay the money. She gets on there. And she's flying, man. She's going, I'm looking at her and she's got this face. She gets off just trembling. I'm literally trembling. And I look at her and I say, are you all right? She goes, that was fun. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't mind spending the money. I don't mind. She enjoyed it. This is something that she wanted to do. Now, if she was down there and said, man, that was boring. I hate this stuff. I gotta spend the money on that. I didn't want to give the money to that. But you know what? Your missionaries, Poland, Mexico, your missionaries, I can tell you one thing. They enjoy what they do. Not only do they enjoy what they do, but I don't think they do it half-heartedly. I don't think they do it just because to get a paycheck. Well, I know they don't do it just to get a paycheck. I mean, some of these guys could possibly be doing more. You know, I come back, I'll probably be changing tires again, and I'm all right with that. You know, I'm all right with that. But some of these guys I work with, they could probably do a lot more, but they like what they do, and they're doing it in a country that really needs the gospel. There's so many discouragements that happen not only in our lives, but in the church to discourage us from not continuing with the most important work we possibly have. I mean, just your family members, your friends. I mean, how many people seriously would put up every single night
this week to come to a mission conference. You know, I remember when I was here and I was working and I wasn't a missionary, and I'd invite my friends from work and they'd say, "Where are you going tonight? Let's go out to Clicks and play some pool, or let's go somewhere else." And I said, "I'm going to a mission conference this week." You know, I'm going to be there every single night. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm thinking, and what is that? Well, we're going to hear about the gospel. You know, we're going to hear about what they're doing in another country and how they're preaching. Come along. Well, you know, I mean, this is not where they want to be. So many times we get discouraged and we almost want to listen to those people and say, you know what, maybe I will have a better time somewhere else but this week being in here. But you know what? If you're a born-again believer, if you're involved in the work, this is where you need to be.
Amen.
You need to get stirred up. I need this every single year. And believe you me, I look forward to this week. You know, something else happens here. Not only did they have that energy to go out and accomplish this great feat for God, you know, just this is come on over, this is cross over there, and we're just going to do this thing. And then the discouragement, seeing 600 bodies over there just sitting down. But you know, we see also some problems along the road. Look what it says in verse 4. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 4. It says, "In between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other Sinek. Two sharp rocks that they had to get across. Later on, we find out that he was on his hands and knees getting up. You talk about determination. You're talking about being focused. It didn't matter the problems or the obstacles. He had one goal: to get over to the garrison and destroy those people. One single goal. That is a mission. You know, I don't like money problems. I don't like car problems. You know, I was complaining on the way up here. You know, I was sticking my inverter. You guys know what an inverter is, right? The little box that converts. Anyways, plug things in. Basically, that's all I know. Anyways, I was plugging this thing in the cigarette lighter, and it wouldn't stay on. It wouldn't work. It kept popping it out. And then my battery was giving me problems, and I started getting all mad. And I told Karen, I said, "Why can't I have a car that just works?" And then I look around, I'm thinking, I have an inverter that costs $60 to plug in a laptop. Thinking, what am I complaining? Good night, man. But you know what? We have adversities all over the place. Car problems, money problems, family problems, so many things just to get. You just said, how many people were arguing and fighting before they came to this meeting? I think that probably happens all the time, many times, many a Sundays. Problems happen, flat tires, whatever it is. We have problems. But you know, we need to get here. This is where we need to be, you know? And I'm thinking, with all these problems, it doesn't matter, because you know why? I love it when a lost soul gets saved.
Amen.
It's just the most greatest feeling in the world. It's just amazing to me. Have you ever had anybody just knock on your door? A member, somebody who you've brought to the Lord, and they just happen to be in the neighborhood, you know, and they just knock on your door and they just want to say hi to you and thank you again because you've given them the gospel. I'm thinking, man, this is just an incredible work that I'm part of. And all I did was open the Bible and say, you know what? This is what God says. Exactly what Jonathan was thinking, I think, you know, and the one that bore his armor. He says, you know what? All we're going to do is come, go over, and get in there. That's all we got to do. We just got to get to the top, because God's going to give the victory.
Amen.
Isn't it great that all we have to do is plant and water, and God gives the increase?
Yes.
You know, we have adversity all over the place. But you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You know, over there in Haggai, where Brother Steve was at,
in chapter 1, in verse 4 through 8, when he's talking about building the house for God. And that was amazing to me that when I read that, where God says, I will take pleasure, in it, and I will be glorified. You know, in building the house of the Lord. After he stirs up the people, right? After he stirs up these two guys and they start working for the Lord, and then all of a sudden, the problems, you know, start, the people start, you know, burlando, ridiculing, you know, they start making fun of, and you know what God says there in Haggai chapter 2 verse 3 and 4, when they say, who is left among you? It says they recalled, you know, how the house was before, and he says, yet now be strong and work. I am with you. You know, I personally think we have, a great work here. I personally think, you know, I mean, it could have been better years ago. I have no idea. You know, it could have been not as good. I just don't know. But what I do know is right now we have a good work. What I do know is I got people to preach to tonight. What I do know is that when I do come up, you know, and some of you guys treat me as a visitor, and that's okay. And other folks, and you know, other folks, you know, treat me well, you know, they know exactly, you know, who I am, and that's great too. But you know what? I love to see new people. I love to see other people who have trusted in the Lord and are getting involved and going forward amongst all the adversity. And you got problems just like I got problems. You know, you get depressed just like I get depressed. You know, and seeing the same faces over and over, sometimes it's a little depressing. You know, I want to see more people, you know, and if we could just have the same people with smiles, that'd probably even be better, you know, but sometimes we just get depressed and adversity and different things. But you know what? It's not time to give up. You know how I know it's not time to give up? Because we're still here. You know, another thing, look what it says there in verse six, it's an amazing thing. It says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, I can relate to this guy. He says, come, let us go over under the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Now that's wise. That Jonathan boy, he was eloquent, you know, talking about somebody trying to convince somebody else. You know, I mean, I'm thinking this guy was an armor bearer. You know, that was his position, you know, and he's thinking and he's hearing, and Jonathan's trying to encourage him possibly and saying, you know what? God can do with a few and we're only two, you know, or with a lot of people. It doesn't matter. You know, and I could see that was the clincher. He probably said, you know what? That's good. You know, God doesn't need a lot of people. I mean, who was with God when he made the world? You know, did anybody help him? No. Yeah, I mean, he says here, and his armor bearer said in verse 7, do all that is in thine heart, says, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. What a tremendous response. You don't think that encouraged Jonathan? I mean, going and doing something alone, that's hard. You know? I mean, and I'm just talking about, you know, a lot of you that go out and preach, you know, in a group, that's fun. You have fellowship, you know, before and after, and you talk about different war stories and you know, I did this last week or whatever, and that's just great, you know. But what about when you have to go out there alone, you know, and no one to encourage you? You know, it can get tough. I thank God for my coworkers. I thank God, you know, that I didn't have to go out, you know, alone. I didn't have to go out by myself. I don't have to go out and do this work by myself. And man, even though Jonathan had these tremendous words, God can save. He can give us a victory by few or a lot. It doesn't matter. Imagine how much that encouraged Jonathan when this guy said, I'm with you, man. I'm with you, you know, with my whole heart, I'm in it. You know what? That's exactly how we feel. I know I do when I see almost every seat filled. You know, you think about that this week when you want to sit at home. Amen. You know, you think about this week when you just have to see that new series that's going to come out. Now, come on. If a missionary has a VCR, you guys got to have VCRs. You know? I mean, program your dumb VCR. If it's that important to you. I think this place is much more important. I think we need to be right here this week if for nothing at all to encourage me. If nothing at all, just say, you know what? I can look out and say, you know what? I got a lot of people behind me. I got a lot of people saying, you know what? We're right there with you. With all our heart, we want you to go back out and do the same thing you've been doing this past year. And you know, it just struck me that it may be that the Lord will work for us. What? It makes the plan even crazier, you know? Because he didn't only say, come, we're going to go over, but then he says, it may be. I mean, it's one thing to say, God talked to me last night and I know this is what's going to happen. He says, it may be. And that was good enough. It just, maybe today God's going to give us a victory. And that was good enough. Well, you know what? This is exactly what we're doing. You know, I think about it often. How many years ago did they have their first mission? I think Joey said it 30 years ago, something like that. I don't know. I mean, could it have been that long ago that maybe some of you guys said, maybe the Lord might do something, you know? It may be that the Lord will start churches in Mexico, never even thinking about Poland. I mean, it may be that this thing could just take off. 17, 18 churches down in Mexico. You know, a bunch of preachers now. And none of them, I mean, all independent. I mean, they're just, you know, this is our work. And they're zealous. I mean, these guys are, I mean, sometimes they get into their stupid arguments, you know, in the same city, they got two churches and you know, we're better than you and all this garbage, you know, that Michael was hitting on this morning, you know, all these things. It's just enough of that, man. This is crazy. The focus here is to win souls. But you know what? So many churches, so many things that you guys are a part of, it's just incredible to me. Incredible. And one more thing, in verse 13, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter was Jonathan, and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, a half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field, and among all the people, the garrison, the spoilers, they also trembled. And the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. You know, right before that, the Philistines yelled out to him. They saw him coming up and they said, man, these Israelites, these Hebrews are coming out of their holes, you know, come up here. We, you know, we'll take care of you. I mean, you know, we don't have a huge building. I mean, a fancy one. I think it's pretty big. You know, when I first saw it, I actually thought it was a bonanza. I really did. They meet in a bonanza. You know, we can get a sermon and good food. We don't have to go anywhere. You know, they can make fun of us. It doesn't matter. You know, I've talked to some missionaries down in Mexico and other places and, you know, sometimes, you know, I have to admit, sometimes, you know, I look at their nice diesel trucks or, you know, whatever they have, and I'm thinking, I don't know, I have that. Man, why can't I have that? But you know what? Who cares? Really, who cares? You know, I got a 1991, and the air conditioner still works, Brother Steve. This thing's like 16 years old. With the air conditioning working? Man, I'm not sweating in San Antonio. I'm living pretty good. I'm living in Mexico with my family. I wake up in the morning, I have my cup of coffee, I take my daughter to school, I go out preaching, I have lunch with my daughter, I pick her up, I go out preaching, I go to Bible studies. This is what I like doing. I have a great life. We have a great work, you know? God has not only changed my life, He made you a part of my life. We have this tremendous ministry. We're here this week to get pepped up, stirred up, refocused, whatever you want to call it. God Oh, what does he say? It may be that the Lord will work for us. You know what? This week, and I'll end with this. This week, I don't want to go more than 30 minutes. Right, Brother Steve? This week, we're going to be preaching. And this week, I want to stir you up.
Amen.
We want to stir you up. We want you to remember exactly what is the most important thing. You know what? This might burst y'all's bubble, but the fact that, what's that blonde girl that just died? Anna Nicole Smith. That ain't news. That's not news. You know? I think it's still in the news, right?
Yeah.
That's not news. That's not news. I mean, that's nothing. You know what's news? The gospel.
Amen.
That is news. You know? We get so, and these little soap operas and these little things, and we want to get tickled, and we think this is the most important. This ain't the most important thing. The gospel is the most important thing.
Amen.
You know what the most amazing thing about this story? I thought, I mean, not only that it was crazy that they even had this idea, maybe that the Lord will work for us. Wow. Talk about faith. But in verse 17, last thing, I promise, in verse 21, it says, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day. You know what? All the people, the backsliders, the people that were hiding, the people that weren't getting involved, the people that just didn't want to know anything. When they saw something happening, when they saw the joy, you know, that some folks had for the ministry, for the work, for the church, so God can get glorified, some people got stirred up. You know, I love that story in Acts chapter 11, same thing happened. The people during the time where Stephen got killed, they said the people got scattered. And you know what? In Antioch, boom, a church. Who started that church? Those people that got scattered. They went all over the place, and it says preaching also Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? The apostles heard about the church in Jerusalem, and they said, man, we're going to send, I think it was Barnabas, we're going to send him over there to check this thing out. And you know what? He went over there, saw the work, and he was glad, he said. He was just glad. He was happy. He was stirred up. He said, man, God is doing something right here, even without us. Listen to me. The most amazing part of this, I thought, was that the people that weren't even, didn't want to have anything to do with the fight anymore, they were probably thought to be washed up. When they saw that God was given the victory, when they saw all the things that were happening, when they saw the things that God was accomplishing, they wanted to get in on it. And let me tell you something, it's not late. It's not too late for you. I mean, we're still here.
Amen.
You want to get in on something that's going to last for eternity?
Amen.
This is it. This is it. You got five families in Poland. You got four families in Mexico. And we're all doing the same thing, trying to win folks to Christ. This is the best investment you can possibly make. Come this week, and we pray that God stirs you up. Amen.